Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe, a place where we think about the truth claims of Jesus Christ. This is Mark Day. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Let's take a few moments now and think about a loose grip on the world. The passage we want to consider today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6 is part of a larger discourse commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. Here Jesus is teaching his worldview. Jesus is teaching what life is like when God is leading, ruling, and reigning in the hearts of his people. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So here, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. In effect, he is asking, where is your treasure? I like to think of this passage as a loving warning from our Lord Jesus. I don't read it as something that rebukes people for having possessions, but he is warning us not to let the things possess us. Jesus wants us to shift our pattern of living from storing up things on this earth towards storing up treasures in heaven. Now, we don't have time today to explore the idea of treasure in heaven and what that might mean. But today we can be confident that there are in fact treasures awaiting the followers of Jesus precisely because the Lord Jesus said that there were treasures in heaven. The fact that the Lord Jesus says there is something for us in the future gives us the confidence to live with that reality in mind. So Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." What does he mean? Are we not supposed to have a savings account? Are we not supposed to have a retirement fund? Are we not supposed to try and own our own home? Are we not supposed to try and own our own automobile? What about this treasure on earth? Well, the word treasure carries with it the idea of something that preoccupies the mind, something that possesses the heart. The things we treasure capture a great deal of our attention. Jesus does not want us to invest our heart into the things of this earth, things that can vanish and disappear. No, Jesus wants us to invest our heart into heaven. He wants us to be preoccupied with building up treasure in heaven. And the promise is that no one will ever be able to take that heavenly treasure away from you. It's eternal. Now, we all have experience with this. We all have had times when we almost completely invested ourselves in a so-called treasure on this earth. One example might be a job promotion. You may have had the experience of working overtime, perhaps without overtime pay, attending all the meetings, sacrificing quality time with family, prioritizing the company 7 days a week, whatever it takes, whatever they need. You've had the experience of going far beyond the extra mile. And then what? The company downsizes, they have layoffs, and you lose your job. All that time, all that investment of your life, sacrificing friends and family for the job, and then the job cuts you loose. Looking back, it wasn't such a wise investment of a life. The investment just vanished. And it's frustrating, it's discouraging, it's depressing. You get the idea. Here, in my little example, we have a picture of a life committed to storing up treasure on earth. Jesus warns against this. He wants us to work. He wants us to be good contributors to society. He wants us to be wise and plan for the future. He just wants us to have a loose grip on the things of the world. He doesn't want those things to capture our mind and our heart. The things this world has to offer, friends, money, houses, jobs, even family can disappear. And Jesus wants us to be able to let them go, to release them. In other words, Jesus wants us to have a loose grip on them. Having a loose grip means that when the things of this world leave us, we can let them go without it tearing up our lives. When we have a tight grip on things or a tight grip on people, we refuse to let them go, and that can be very painful. It can be destructive. When we have a tight grip on a dream, an attitude, or even a way of living, it can be so very exhausting to keep hold of that thing. Now, having a loose grip on the world does not mean we are not committed. It just means that we are committed to the right things, things that have eternal value, treasure in heaven. It means that we're not committed to the wrong things, things that have only temporary value and that can vanish overnight. Now, I can hear someone asking, "What do you mean? Hey, Mark, wait a minute. Are you saying that I should not be committed to my son, my wife, my daughter? Are you saying that I should just let people go when things get a little difficult? Are you saying that I should just let go of my savings account? Are you saying that I should just let go of my commitments that I've made at work?" No, I'm not saying that. More importantly, Jesus is not saying that. Being committed to your wife, your husband, your children is good and has eternal value. Scripture teaches mutual commitment in the family. Scripture also teaches us to do our work well, all to the glory of God. Scripture also teaches that we're to be wise stewards of the material resources God entrusts to us. So, we are to be wise stewards. Again, let's just make sure that we are the stewards, the managers of those things, making sure those things don't manage us. Another example might be a young woman who will go to any lengths to be popular with her high school classmates. She will do or say just about anything so that her popularity, her likability, will increase. She has a vision, and the vision is that she would be well-liked by everyone in the school. She will interrupt the teacher or disrupt a class if it'll make her popular. She'll use ugly language if it'll make her popular with other students. She'll come to school intoxicated if it will fulfill her vision for her life, the vision of being popular with others. She'll have intentional emotional outbursts in the cafeteria if it'll fulfill her vision, the vision of being popular and well-liked in school. This young woman has a very tight grip on that vision. Her grip is so tight. In fact, her grip is so tight that she couldn't even imagine what it would be like to live without having a tight grip on that vision. Rather than her leading her own life, her desire to be popular leads her life. She has a tight grip on the things of this world, a grip so tight that it threatens to destroy her life. What our hypothetical young woman needs to do is to loosen her grip on a philosophy, a way of thinking. She needs to loosen her grip on this incessant desire to be popular with others, a desire so strong that it threatens to destroy her life and her future. When she does loosen her grip and then reaches out for Jesus, she will discover a new vision, an exciting vision, the vision the Lord Jesus has for her beautiful life. We have a real-life picture of this situation in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. In that passage, we read this: "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he answered to him, 'Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, this passage is very helpful in better understanding this idea of having a loose grip on the world. We won't cover all the background of who this young man was, but clearly, according to verse 22, he was a wealthy man. We can assume that the man was sincere in his desire to have eternal life, But we can see that he was spiritually confused since he asked what good deed he needed to do to have eternal life. The central message of the Bible is not what we do to earn God's favor. The message is about what God has done for us, not what we do for God. But the man asked Jesus a straightforward question. He wants to hold on to a good deed. He asks about what good deed he must do to earn eternal life. He wants to learn about a good deed that he can perform, a good deed that he can hold on to so that he is justified before God to have eternal life. Jesus shifts the focus by saying, "There is only one who is good." He shifts the focus to God. In other words, if you want to trust in something that's good, trust in Jesus and what he has done for you. Don't trust in your own self-effort. But we see this man thinks pretty well of himself. He tells Jesus that he has kept all the commandments. So in his own mind, this man is excelling in his work of looking good in the eyes of God. But then Jesus drops the hammer. In verse 21, Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And then we read that the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In other words, the possessions had control of the young man, rather than the young man being in control of his possessions. He had a tight grip on those possessions. Just imagine it. This young man was speaking to the one and only expert on the subject of eternal life. He was speaking to the Lord of the universe in human flesh, Jesus of Nazareth. Sadly, he had such a grip on his possessions that he couldn't let go. He couldn't let go of the things of his life so that he could be with the Lord Jesus. There are at least two things to take away from this passage today. First, we shouldn't read this as a command for all of us to go and sell our possessions. Jesus is not against you or I having possessions. Again, the problem is with our holding on too tightly to those possessions. Notice that Jesus first asked the man about keeping the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is concerned about the man's heart, not his possessions. Unfortunately, the young man superficially thinks that he has kept the commandments when in fact he has not. He has not kept the commandments, but he thinks pretty highly of himself, and he presents himself to Jesus as a, quote, good man. So, in order to cut through all of the man's self-deceit, Jesus tells him to go and sell his possessions. Then he will have treasure in heaven. This cut right to the heart of where the man placed his loyalty. His loyalty was with his possessions. He had such a tight grip on the things of the world that he couldn't reach out to touch the Lord of all creation. His eternal treasure stood right before him, but his grip was so tight on the things of the world that he would never experience all God had available for him. Really, what Jesus does is challenge the man to loosen his grip on what truly satisfies him, his possessions. Jesus wants the man to release his grip on the world, his possessions, and reach out and hold on to God. Jesus wants this young man to find his pleasure, his satisfaction, not in the things of the world, but in God. Jesus warns us about loving the world. Loving the world means being devoted to the world's physical treasures, the world's philosophies, and the world's priorities. Again, loving the world means being devoted to the world's treasures, the world's philosophies, and the world's priorities. The world prioritizes many things that are not in line with the character and worldview of Jesus. The world prioritizes many things that are not pleasing to God. Jesus tells his followers to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. According to Jesus, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we humans very often seek first the things of this world, and when we find them, we hold on tight and do not want to let go. But if we are to follow the teachings of Jesus, we must seek first the things of God, which means we are to seek first a committed relationship with Jesus. We must first let go of the things of the world and shift our attention to Jesus, the kingdom of God. In other words, if we are to truly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus teaches, then we need a loose grip on the things, the attitudes, the priorities of the world. There are many examples of how we might have a tight grip on the world. One area would be personal security, our home, our job, even our family. Or we might have a tight grip on personal pleasure and a comfortable lifestyle. Or we might have a tight grip on a passive life with no conflict. Or we might have a tight grip on personal rewards such as financial prosperity, popularity, praise, and acceptance of others, or even friendships. Or we might have a tight grip on our emotional identity. We might have a very tight grip on our hang-ups, since our personal identity, reputation, and way of life is so closely intertwined with them. Gosh, if we didn't have our hang-ups, we would be completely different. Our life would be completely different. And that may scare us. So we hang on with a tight grip. The root problem is satisfaction. What is it that satisfies us? Jesus? God? Or the things of this world? What satisfies us most? The approval of people? Or the approval of Jesus? What satisfies us most? Our hang-ups? Or our relationship with Jesus? We will always hold on most tightly to that which gives us the most satisfaction, the most comfort, and the most pleasure. I can't tell you how important the concept of having a loose grip on the world has been to me. For me, the thing I once held with a tight grip was a vision. I had a vision of how my life was to unfold. I had a vision of how my life would look when I was 30 years old, how it would look at 35, how it would look at 40 years of age. I had a dream of what I thought my perfect life would look like. But my life has not unfolded the way I thought it would. There were surprises. There were disappointments. There have been successes, but there have also been failures. Now, vision is good, but a vision for a life must be consistent with the purposes and plan of God. What I learned was that I needed to have a loose grip on my vision of what my life was to look like. I had to let go of my vision. The old vision of my life went one direction, but in reality, God was taking my life in a different direction. And in a strange way, my old vision had a tremendous power over me. The old vision had a grip on me, and I had a firm grip on it. But rather than me possessing my vision for my life, it possessed me. That old vision was the determiner of whether I was happy or sad. And what a miserable place to be. Holding on tightly to an old dream, an old vision, while your life is unfolding in a different direction. There comes a time when the wise thing to do, the most emotionally healthy thing to do, is to let go of the old and embrace the new. I had to learn that there are things in this world that we need to have a loose grip on. And one of those things is a vision of how things, quote, should be in our life, when in reality, God is doing something new, something better. This concept of having a loose grip on the world is so freeing. It means that the things and people of this world do not have the final say over your life. When we loosen our grip on the things of the world, we can reach out to Jesus and lay hold of His vision and His direction for our life. Remember, in Matthew 19, Jesus told the young man to let go of his possessions and follow Him. Jesus did not tell the man to let go of his possessions and do nothing. No, the young man was to loosen his grip on his possessions, and then he was to follow Jesus. In other words, he was to hold on to Jesus. Holding on to Jesus is another way of saying follow Jesus. When we loosen our grip on the things of the world, a vacuum exists. If we release one thing, we need to grab hold of something else, and the something else is Jesus. More specifically, we are to have a tight grip on the worldview of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus, and the truth claims of Jesus. This is one of the ways the gospel truly does bring freedom. It frees us from the tyranny of things, the tyranny of people, the tyranny of philosophies, the tyranny of disappointments, the tyranny of uncertainty, the tyranny of relying on others, the tyranny of our hang-ups, the tyranny of bitterness, the tyranny of resentment. The gospel allows us to loosen our grip, reach out to Jesus, and discover all that God has planned for our life. Laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven requires that we first loosen our grip on the things of this world as we turn and reach out to Jesus for our personal satisfaction, fulfillment, and pleasure. When we reach out to Jesus, lay hold of Him, His character, His worldview, we're on the path of investing our lives into eternity, storing up treasure that cannot be stolen or destroyed. Thank you for joining us in the Think Jesus Cafe. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you. We invite you to join us in spreading a passion to think like Jesus by asking your friends to subscribe to the podcast at thinkjesuscafe.org. Or you can find us on iTunes. Just go to podcasts and search for Think Jesus Cafe. If you're visiting the San Francisco area or you live in the East Bay, we invite you to join us on Sunday for worship at Gate Tree Church. Service times and directions are online at gatetreechurch.org. Until next time, think Jesus and enjoy life.